Talk Comics. I think this is 164, and if it's not, well, it's close enough. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. I have with me the Chief Defender of the Faith, Brett.
Hello.
The Cub Reporter, Kay.
Happy as hell to be here, Mo.
The man with no nickname, Chris.
I is here.
Yes, you is. And today's topic, me and Brett kind of came up with this one together because everything got thrown off in the last few weeks. But it's okay because you've had a lot of great shows coming up. So this topic we haven't announced prior, but Brett and I, we came up with this. This is something we think is fun. It's looking back at comics and cartoons that are off toy lines. So Brett, what exactly are the rules and how did we come up with this?
Well, you know, we got talking about a few things, and I think I don't even necessarily remember which specifically brought it up, but you know, the concept is that we wanted to talk about first things that were toys that they made animated series from, and then that they made comics from, you know, generally in that order. I'm sure that we'll have some that aren't in that order, but ideally, we're going for something that, you know, not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that was a comic book first. We're looking for something that was probably a toy or an animated series first, and then a comic book last, I think.
But we also did break it down into a bunch of categories. Do we want to even bother saying what the categories are? Or are we just throwing that out because we're never going to stick to it anyways?
I mean, if somebody has a category that they'd like to, one of our categories that they'd like to start out with, then we can use that as a starting point and just forget everything else from that point.
Well, do Chris or Keith, either one of you have that, or do we want to just jump in?
I was using a shoehorn to wedge some of mine into these categories that you came up with.
I had a
really
suspicion.
I'm looking at the list. It makes no what the properties I want to talk about make no sense with the category we've chose.
Well, and here's the thing, Chris. When we were coming up with these categories, we were doing it based off of the ones that were coming immediately to our heads. We weren't doing it after having done research. Now that we've done some research, started watching, the more that we watch, the less these topics actually seem like they're any kind of fit.
Well, yeah, just judging quality on some of these, I found hard. Because I was watching this stuff going, oh man, I am so loving this. But it is so not good.
Well, and there were quite a few that... I mean, really, once I found a couple of the gems, I intentionally was trying to have a different one for each category, so there were a broad pile of things to talk about. But really, a couple of the gems I found, ironically, none of them a gem. I wanted to just put them in all the categories, so that would have really limited my list.
It kind of would have, yes. So, okay, so then by that token, if we're not going to be able to start like this, why don't we just go around with perhaps let's start with the worst one. Or should we start with the best one or the worst one?
Well, worst. I mean, yeah,
well,
yeah.
I know, yeah,
you
we'll
know
get
what?
There.
Mine's the same in both categories, really.
Interesting.
Worst one's a challenge because I mean, often there weren't a whole lot that I found. I mean, I kind of for comics, a lot of them I had to go on my memory of the comics.
I don't know that any of us really read any of the comic books that go with these.
No, it's so hard to find like finding cartoons. That's easy.
Yeah.
You know? Finding the comic books in some way, that's. I mean,
a lot of these you can find awesome. A sample of on YouTube. You can get at least an episode of quite a few of the 80s cartoons if you dig around. Maybe half an episode in some cases.
Well, let's throw it over to Chris because he's the one who said he went down a deep rabbit hole with this topic. So what do you mean, Chris? What happened?
Oh, okay. No, I was finding shows off my sister's toys I remembered when I was a kid. And just sort of kept tumbling down this YouTube rabbit hole where I was watching, I mean, absolute crap. I mean, I had no idea a property named Monchichi had four cartoon series.
It had four. I remember the
Well,
Monchichi.
The
Yeah.
Monchichi, it shared a power, cartoon power hour with the Little Rascals and Richie Rich. Yeah,
Actually,
but
you
none of
know,
these are
I.
toy lines, though.
That's a, yeah, the
Oh,
Moshishi
it's
was
a
a
toy
toy.
line first.
I only know Moshishi as a toy, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what it, I don't, is it a comic book? That I don't know.
Well, I don't. I doubt
It
that one.
lists a comic book as several manga series after the fact.
All right. Well,
Well,
I'll
Little
accept
Rascals
that.
is not a comic.
Pardon
And
me?
Little Rascals actually probably is, but it's not a toy. Actually, probably is.
I
It would have
was
been a toy
not
line,
talking. I'm
but
talking
it would have been.
Monchichi. I'm just saying it shared a power hour.
It would have been a car. It would have been a movie first. Mo is what you were going for there, because they would have been comics as well. But yeah, it would have been a movie first, which disqualifies it. But Chris didn't wasn't really talking about it anyway.
I can understand though, like any rabbit hole that winds up with Mon Chi Chi
Then
is
King.
that.
Yeah, I'm marking down. Look
Was
look up
Mon
Moshishi.
You know what? That was one of my experiences in this. Is I hear that name Monchichi, or however you, I man, the names of these cartoons, like I don't know where they came up with these things, but the combination of horrible and just syllables put together that makes no sense. Like they're like confuse the kids with a bunch of words. Like is basically I think the marketing plan on some of these.
Well, in some cases, I think they were just trying to Americanize the Japanese version of the
There were a lot of those of I mean a lot of the early toy, like the what are we going to call them, a trinity, we'll call them a trinity for the purposes of the episode. A lot of those were like some of them it's hard to tell whether they were toys or cartoons or what first. Shogun Warriors is a good example, because Shogun Warriors were action figures made from various animes. So there was no shared universe to it. It was just a whole bunch of varied things thrown into one, and then the comic had them all together. So yeah, it was a little odd, some of those early projects,
Although
to
that particular
start.
one, I am still in the market to buy the full size Shogun Warriors. They are really expensive on eBay.
I can imagine those would go. I mean, they were enormous, so that the amount of storage space alone that they would have taken up over the years. I'm glad we don't have to that we're not sticking to the categories, because I don't have to go to the judges on whether Shogun Warriors counts or not.
Yeah. I mean, we know it
I
had
don't
a.
recall. I mean, I remember reading the comic book, but I don't think I ever saw a Shogun Warriors cartoon. I'm sure one existed, but I just know for myself, I never saw it.
Not as a standalone cartoon. It was like a. It was. They were characters for like robots from animes from the 70s that were all mushed together. So it's. It, I mean, they weren't a line until they were a toy line, although some of the bits existed in cartoons first. So it's kind of a. Yeah, it's an odd one.
But here's the question: who mushed them together? Like Hasbro, when they wanted the
Yeah.
Transformers, they went to Japan and got two different toy lines and brought them both together to form the Transformers kind of thing. So, that was Hasbro's mushing.
Well, what LSD-addled executive was in charge of sectors then?
Sectors,
That was
yeah.
one of the wacky ones I came across, was sectors. That it does have a cartoon, but like an episode or two. It was very short-lived.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't agree.
it was on my number one in my list of ones I particularly wanted to know more about because I remember collecting the comic book and I did not realize the toy was as strange as it was. Did you guys actually see what the toy was?
They're
The
weird looking.
oh, they're I'm the figures were out of scale with everything else of the time. And
Which is
came
always
with
a problem.
puppets.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. The insects were actually puppets. Because the idea was is that the figures rode, they were small, so they rode insects, and the insects were a puppet that you put in your hand and then put the action figure on top of it.
Yeah, there's like they are some serious. It's the eyes, like that's some serious, serious wacky looking stuff. But I love the puppet element. That is a totally different feel.
This is part of what may make this episode a real nightmare. Is that I'm gonna want to like put up a bunch of pictures from these things in order for the post for people to
Oh
check out.
yeah.
And I'm gonna want to say to you, Brett, here you're gonna have to drop in the theme song from this cartoon because it's too damned awesome or too damn amazing. Like it's like and there was I mean there was a lot of amazing. But okay, so Keith, what's one that just like you just you has you still shaking your head that you for some reason or another?
I'm gonna go with Madballs.
Oh, I love Mad Balls.
Oh, you bastard. That was my
Yes.
number one pick for both worst and best.
Maybe I just hand it over to you, Chris, because it was
Was
just
that a
like
cart? Was the comic book a star? Was that
it
Marvel's
was a
star?
star. Yeah, there was
It
a
was Marvel Star, a
something.
4-issue limited series that lasted 10 issues.
A lot of these were Star comics.
Yes.
Sectors wasn't.
And Sectors was not. I think it might have been just before. And as we dug through as I dug through these, I found that I mean a lot of them were became Star comics, and a lot of them like a predominant number of them were done by Ruby Spears Productions.
Yeah, well, because I noticed that Ruby Spears did, I think they did Mask as well, and
No,
yeah.
I checked that one out. That was Deke.
Oh, okay,
Yeah.
well, then maybe they did Cops. It was one of those two. I know as well.
Yeah, they did an enormous number of these shows, though. I mean, they had done. I mean, they started out doing Hanna-Barbera, and then later did tons of the toy tie-in shows.
No question, a lot of that's one thing that is predominant is when you're watching these things, especially the ones from the 80s, that I mean they all feel the same. They look the same, they feel the same, they sound the same. Like there's a lot of there was this was the formula, this is what worked for the most popular series, which would have been, I guess, obviously G.I. Joe. I'd say what your most popular are G.I. Joe, Transformers, He-Man, maybe Thundercats. Would you put that in there?
That gets me pretty high up. I mean, when you brought up the idea, we'll get back to Chris talking about Madballs here in a second. When
What
you
was he
brought
talking
up,
about it, actually?
when you brought up the, well, I once Chris, expounded his great love and hate of
Oh,
Madballs, maybe
that's true. You
I felt
can't
I
top
should
it.
really, I felt I should really hand that over. When
Just
you,
step aside.
one of the original categories was the best overall combo, and I was curious actually what everyone would bring back because. I felt it was going to be one of two things. To me, there was no
Chris, mute your
competition.
fucking mic. For fuck's sake.
To me, there was no competition. There might be for you guys. I thought G.I. Joe was so far ahead as the peak of all three. But I was curious what everyone else would bring back for that category.
Well, there's no question. I mean, when it comes to like best comic, like great toys, and it had an animated series. So, it had two of the
He had a
three.
pretty good animated. Well, at least the first five.
I mean, it was okay. Like the movie, like when I was talking about one of the absolute worst moment, it's Cobra Law from the
Oh,
movie. Like
yeah, for sure.
that is the absolute worst moment I can think of. But yeah, I can probably agree. Like just from a sheer comic book perspective, I can't imagine any other comic book actually beating the G.I. Joe
Well, that's it.
comics.
The comic book is G.I. Joe, but I mean, Transformers cartoon was much better than G.I. Joe's cartoon, I thought. So, whereas the comic book, the Transformers comic book wasn't nearly as good. That peaked in issue three when Spider-Man guest starred. Like, that, I don't know. Maybe you could say, I mean, both of them have spun off into so many different, books and series over the years. I mean, G.I. Joe, like, I never really got the cartoon, I don't think was all that good. But it was G.I. Joe Resolute. That's better, I think, than any Transformers or G.I. Joe. I think that's the best one. I think that was Warren Ellis who wrote that, wasn't it?
Warren, yeah, that's
Yeah.
correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that's like the best. So if you throw that in there, since it has the very best cartoon,
And then it has so many great comic book storylines and, you know, over the years. Yeah. I mean, yeah, G.I. Joe would probably be the, I mean, it's certainly not He-Man.
I mean, you know, here's the thing, like the toy line, like I never really collected the He-Man toys. I love the animated series. I love He-Man. I love She-Ra. You know, I think they're great. And the comic books, I've tried. I've really tried, but I've never successfully been able to really get into them in any great way. Because the thing is that with He-Man, like, I really like the whole mythology. I like the Eternia and stuff like that. I think it's really interesting. Like, Skeletor's awesome, and just the way that He-Man and She-Ra interact together and that whole thing works. I mean, I think it's cool. But yeah, they've never done it well in comic books.
Well, I mean, not just in comic books. To me, I mean, like, that was my favorite toy series. Absolutely. When I was a kid, He-Man, that was it. Because He-Man was the best one to make wrestling matches with. You know? So.
Well,
they do look like wrestlers, yeah.
Wait. How can any of you get past the glaring problem with that entire series? Orko.
Well, I was going to go there.
I mean, if you don't turn it off 4 minutes into the first episode of He-Man, from listening to Orko, you have a serious mental defect of some kind.
That's the thing, is I don't think that cartoon series is very good. And I think She-Ra is like, it's like a pale imitation. It's so obvious what it is. It's like, it's not as good as the original. And, you know, it's like, I didn't get into that. So, I mean, and the same thing with their toys. But yeah, I mean, the cart, like I had very, like, it was a DC Comics, one of those DC Comics Presents or something like that. It was a Superman crossover with He-Man. And very early on, that's like my first interaction with He-Man in the comic books. And it was very realistically drawn, and it was very serious. And it was not adult or mature, even, is the right word, but it was realistic. It was a very realistic take on this world, which was so drastically different than Orko. Like, there was no Orko here, and Battle Cat was seriously a vicious creature, you know. And it was like, it was so vastly different than the cartoon. That's one of the reasons why I don't think it's ever been done good, is because it's like, there just seems to be like, He-Man has had too many different visions and not one vision that's been in charge at any point. Because, I mean, you would have, like, the next comic book series I'd get from them after the DC one was from Star Comics. First issue was great, and then it goes right to hell. And then they brought back the series in, like, 2002, and they somehow managed to make Orko even more annoying. It's horrible. Oh.
Now, I hate the series, but I do own the entire thing on DVD. You remember... Yeah. If you remember, the Mill Creek released these big box sets.
And they're beautiful. I
and
have
they're
them all
beautiful.
As well.
And the documentaries on them are absolutely great, with interviews with Paul Dini and Joe from Babylon 5, and the guy who wrote Dream Warriors. I want to say Halloween, but that's not it. Nightmare on Elm Street 3. A lot of these writers went on to other things. So it's a fascinating documentary to listen to them come back and talk about how quickly they had to produce this stuff and how in control the toy line actually was of the entire series. I mean, Joe Straczynski writing about a giant robot horse for the episode is a great listen. I absolutely love those box sets just for that, and unfortunately they're out of print and the company's out of business and they're not on YouTube. That way I could get rid of these box sets, because although they're beautiful, they take up a lot of space.
There's
a lot of places you can find videos to watch online that isn't YouTube that probably have it. Like, seriously, I mean, for me, I didn't go to YouTube for this. I went to kisscartoon.me, which has everything you'd ever want to see, like, listed out there in a beautifully organized way. Like, so, I mean, I don't, Like, you don't have to, you, I bet you could find those documentaries easily enough without having to go, without having to go to YouTube if they're not there. But, you know, it's, I have to say, I love those little, the little comic books that came with the toys. Those were good, which is another reason why, again, the DC Comics one was so shocking because it was so different. But I just love those. Those just, I would get the toy, I would read that, and I'd know the character, and then I could go play with them as that character. It was like an introduction. It was perfect. It was so great.
Now, Mo, did you look up who the team was on that Masters of the Universe?
No.
Okay. So I want you to describe your memory of, I'm talking about the original, like, 14 or 16 page, your memory of, you said they were drawn very realistic. What else do you remember about that book?
You mean, well, I mean, I'm just talking about the crossover that was the DC. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Superman, the Superman crossover.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like the middle of an Action Comics.
Something. No, it wasn't. It was actually a crossover where Superman's
in the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It is a crossover. Okay. See, yeah, memory, right? You're going off of.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm curious.
Who drew that? I don't. Well,
I'm gonna tell you who drew it, but I actually wanted your reaction before, your memory of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. I mean, if I was to guess, it would be like a Kurt Swan, because it is a, you know.
Mo's just failed to play this game. All right, it's Kurt Swan. Like, let's just move on with our lives, because this totally didn't work out. Mo wouldn't play.
Well,
I don't know what you're saying. I didn't know that. Not that I didn't want to play. I didn't understand.
Here's the thing, though. When it comes to the animated series,
it was Kurt Swan. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Who did the little fanzine ones then, or the little ones in the? Because I think those were actually Marvel. I thought maybe they were DC, but who did the little ones in the toys?
That I do not know.
Well, Google it, Keith. That's what you're here for.
Look it up.
Get on the Google monkey. Yeah.
Google Moshishi.
But yes, one of the interesting things that I've noted, and this is true of several of these, with the animated series, because Lou Scheimer did the Masters of the Universe.
And the voice of Orca.
But they also did Brave Star as, you know, like the same thing. And it had a toy line as well. So it was basically a sci-fi Western Masters of the Universe to a certain degree. And if you watch the episodes, it plays out in the exact same way. You've got a character who's exactly like Battle Cat. You've got a character that's, you know, very close to Orko and that kind of thing. Like, so
they've got nine characters close to Orko.
Okay, Brett, that horse is not like Battle Cat, because that horse is awesome. That horse gets up on 2 feet, walks around carrying a, like, machine gun type thing, and shoots it. That's tremendous.
Well, it is pretty tremendous, but but it's interesting, though, to note the companies that wound up doing, you know, multiple toy lines into animated series. Like, when you talk about Thundercats, the same people who did Thundercats did Silverhawks, which was basically just another Thundercats, only, you know, in space. Actually,
Thundercats was in space, wasn't it?
Well, oh yeah, probably was, but
it was right after.
Actually, Silverhawks, when you watch the intro, it's like the Silver Surfer. Basically, it's people who have chosen to become androids, so that they can survive the rigors of space and fight a battle. Rom. Yeah, it's Rom. Yeah.
But and that's the thing is, you talked about Battlestar, but there was two other space opera ones like that done at the exact same time by different companies. So there's three in total out there. Like, one of them was like Adventures of Space Sheriffs or something like that. And, you know.
Okay. Just to correct everything here, we've been saying Battlestar. It's Brave Star.
Brave Star.
With the horse that gets up.
30-30.
I got a little confused Brave there. Star,
one of the things about Brave Star is, and here's where dropping in music would be perfect, it has like the best themes, because it's so bad. Like, that theme song is like Brave Star. Like, it's just a woman going Brave Star, and then it'll be like a guy going like doing like the voiceover in a planet where evil runs the day. Out from the woods or whatever it was, or the hills, comes a man with the strength of a bear and eyes, or strength of or eyes of a hawk, strength of a bear, brave star. Like and then it'll go to the girl, go, brave star. Like, with the least amount of enthusiasm you've ever heard. It's just tremendous. I think they thought brave star and bear rhymed. I'm pretty sure. But yeah. What do you, did any of the music really blow you guys away as being horribly bad or horribly great? Because there was one where I was like, this is the greatest. This seriously great.
I do still love that mask theme.
Yes, that's
the mask theme is definitely, you know, it's got great lyrics for shitty lyrics, at least.
And it's got that guitar, that like Transformers, mm-hmm. You got the touch type of guitar feel to it, you know?
It's the most memorable of the cartoon themes. And if for those that don't remember the Mask toys, they were similar to Transformers, but they were they would be a vehicle that transformed into a different vehicle as opposed to robots. And there is actually the one I had was a jet that transformed into a helicopter. Because
yeah, why not?
You really want to slow down.
You know, for those times when you want to go slower and make more noise, hover, I guess. Yeah, you could hover.
My personal favorite was I loved Matt Tracker's car because I always thought, you know, when the doors go out and they become wings, and I look and especially when you look at the animated series and you're like, dude is only strapped in with a seatbelt.
The safety considerations on Mask were not great. I mean, there's also the motorbike that becomes a helicopter with basically like an inch and a half between the pilot's head and the rotor blades. No protection at all.
What did the rig become? Did it become anything?
It became their house or something.
Yeah. my personal favorite, because like, the Mask series, like, I watched the first episode of the Mask series, and it struck me as the most ridiculous, like, having the most ridiculous moments of many of the series, because there was just so many moments where you're like, well, that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Oh, I remember what the rig does. So the back of the rig is like a headquarters thingy, but the front of the rig is like it's a semi trailer rig, and the back couple of wheels come off and become a little dune buggy, and the front of it just becomes it stays being a truck but with fewer wheels.
But the exhaust port shoot.
Yes, that's right.
And stuff
they fold down the chute. Yes.
It probably goes without saying that anything on the that we're going to talk about fired stuff.
Oh yeah. But I always wanted Mask toys. Like, it was near to the end, as the, like, I was getting a little older when Mask came out. But it always struck me as like really cool from a kid perspective of like, damn, you know, a car that becomes a plane. Right? Oh no, it was only the toys.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't even the toys. It was that like DC, every book that you got for a certain month. Oh, yeah. Had that inset, and
yes,
which meant I read it every single time, because I would do the same thing with the He-Man one. I'd be like, oh, that's the thing I read before. That was good. I'll keep reading it. Comics. Yay, comics. I'm reading comics. I'm like, you know, 13 or whatever, 12. I don't care. I just keep reading it. I love that little Mask storyline in the middle. Now, as I look back, I think it's probably Kurt Swan who drew it. And I don't know what else to say about it. I don't think it was good, but I kept reading it. And I loved it. So I mean, but the series itself, it peaked every episode with the theme song.
I had to collect the first four issues of that because I wanted the special DC surprise that you could send away with the little chits in there. By the way, it was an Amazing Man poster, which I still have.
That's fantastic. That's better than anything we've talked about.
That is true.
You still have it?
Man.
Now that's the picture
somewhere.
This show. That's incredible.
All right, let's backtrack a couple of steps. According to old he-man.org. The He-Man comics were drawn by, and you're never going to believe this, Mark Texiera and Bruce Timm.
Get the hell out of here. Really?
I can't find a writing credit, but that's who apparently wrote, who drew them.
Wow.
Most of them by Texiera.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I told you I wouldn't believe it in you. You're clearly.
And I really don't. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, if you can't trust old.he.man.org, who can you trust?
I see no reason not to trust that.
No, that's right.
It seems as viable as any other website.
So, Brett, what's one that you found that you watched that you're like, oh, that was crap?
Oh, one of the ones, and I'm really happy that I found it and know that it exists, but at the same time, it was absolutely wretched. That they created this because of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles frenzy. So the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have spawned so much. Not only did they spawn a whole bunch of comic books, but they've also spawned toy lines. One of the toy lines that they spawned was called the Street Sharks, and they made an animated series of it, and it was a Canadian-U.S. co-production, so it lasted 40 episodes.
Oh, my God.
Three seasons. Well, I mean, a lot of these lasted 65, like a full syndication.
I couldn't believe that, yeah.
But this one lasted three seasons, 40 episodes, and it is absolutely horrific. It's, because it's like four sharks that are all running around basically like being shark dudes and they drive
sharking it up.
Yeah. They drive like kinda sharky rigs.
Any of them ever at SeaWorld?
One of them is, I forget what their names are, but they've got really terrible names. And every single episode uses shark in some way.
Brett, you got to be careful, because I know for a fact this property has a rabid fan base out there.
Oh,
which I don't completely understand myself. But I came across a couple incidents of cyberbullying as I peruse the forums researching this.
Wow.
People are insane about this shark thing. I found it kind of scary.
My favorite name from it is Slamu.
Well, he's not a shark. He was a whale member.
Whale shark. He's the whale shark, yes. But yeah, it's fantastic. You know, the whole thing is just so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rip-off-y that, you know, it's got a character who is April. It's got a character who is Casey. You know, it's pretty much got everything.
Did any of you run across another TMNT type ripoff called Stone Protectors?
I totally want to play the video game. I don't think it had a comic book, but there is a co-op video game for that. So I want to play that.
I think I thought there was a comic book, like a
40. I don't. I'm pretty sure there isn't a comic book on that one.
Okay. But. Okay. I don't know. I watched like 5 minutes of the cartoon. I'm like, and that's enough. That was enough. I mean, it certainly wasn't the worst thing I watched, but it was enough.
Chris, do your Madballs thing now.
Oh, yeah.
No, I just actually... Okay, there isn't a cartoon series. They had two animated pilots, both of them different, both of them terrible. Both of them released on video cassette, but I felt safe including it because Madballs was also barely a toy.
They're just balls.
I think that this toy, this concept needs to be explained for people in greater detail, because they're just hearing Madballs. They don't know what the hell we're talking about.
The Madballs were balls that kind of looked mad. They had faces. They were gross. Gross faces on them. Basically, they were Garbage Pail Kids without the bodies. Really a cheap toy. Still being produced today. Still have a comic book today.
Yeah.
The issue one came out last month. Lion Forge Press. So there's still a fan base out there for them. Europe loves these things for some reason. They've had like four more lines than we ever got over here.
And the comic books were all basically just a reason to like do barf and fart jokes.
Oh, definitely. But none of the series share, or the two cartoon series and the comic book series do not share any continuity whatsoever. They're just random stories.
Yep.
So what you're saying is, though, is that Mad Balls are the Jerry Lewis of toys.
It could be. The first animated series is done in Monty Python style animation, so really, really cheap. Really, really bad. Actually, most of the lists of worst cartoon series based on toys when I did searches came up with Mad Balls as number one, so I had to watch every episode I could get my hands on.
That makes sense.
I remember buying the comic book, and I mean the comic book, the mere fact that it was a 4-issue limited series that just kept going after they or 3-issue limited series that just kept going.
Yeah,
it was hot, though. I mean, it was a hot property. Kids at school, they loved it because same reason they loved Garbage Pail Kids, which was, you know, but I'd love to know who did that comic.
Oh, and my favorite part was I watched an ad for these Mad Balls, and they, in order to incorporate the faces and stuff into these things, they had to take all the bounce out. Yet in the ad, they still have kids throwing them against the ground, and you can see them just sort of roll away. Yeah. And then they tried to quickly cut away, but obviously no one cared enough to hide the fact that these things couldn't really do anything other than be Mad Balls.
Oh, they didn't bounce. They didn't.
They didn't bounce. Oh, they were. I mean, I still have one actually. Hey, it came in Nerd Block. It's a newer one.
I do love the Mad Balls. Now, does Garbage Pail Kids count? It doesn't. It never got an animated series, but it does have a movie.
Movie.
But they weren't a toy to start though.
No, that's true. But the movie.
I don't know. That movie, because that's a lot. It's a live action with animatronics. Really? Yes, it's not. And the level of gross and horrible special effects and bad acting, we should watch it.
It's worth it. I've watched it because when my one friend and I were attempting to go through a list of the 50 worst movies of all time, which we successfully made it through, and that was one of them. And it is a horrible, horrible movie. Yes, the idea of watching it again actually does kind of give me a, you know, like twitches. But yeah, it definitely should.
I would watch that. I think if we're able to do a get together over the holidays, I think we should each bring something to, you know, force upon our co-hosts.
and also another one that I'm not sure if it fits, but it kind of does, is Captain Power.
Yeah. Was there a comic of it?
Yes.
Wow. Wasn't that the one where you could, like, you bought a toy and you could shoot at the screen or something?
That's the one. And written, the TV show was written by Joe Straczynski.
Yeah,
and yet it's actually watchable. I've gone back and watched it.
Well, a lot of people really like it.
Yeah, well, the early ones are better because he said that as the show went on, because they were trying to push the toy, as the show went on, they were foisting more and more. You've got to have fight scenes because the only purpose to having the toy is to fire the screen during the fight scenes. And if you have them stand around for 20 minutes talking, no, the kids aren't engaged in the show. So it became this back and forth of having a, of Straczynski wanting an actual story on Saturday mornings, like a British style kids sci-fi, versus the people that were selling the toys and needed X number of flashes on the screen for the toys to work.
You know, this maybe is why when I say it sucks, maybe this is why, because as a kid, that's all I did want at that age.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, now maybe I'd enjoy it more.
It also sucked because the toy didn't work all that well.
I never actually got the toy. I recorded
technology, 1985 technology of shooting at a TV. And what was the point of that? You would shoot and then people would fall down, and you'd like to think that you're the one who caused it, but I'm guessing they would have fallen down anyways.
I think you got points on your little ship or something, right? Like, was that
maybe
what it was?
I don't know.
There was a little counter on the back of your ship / gun that kept count. But that was the problem, is the your beam would go hit the TV and it was supposed to bounce back, but you had to be on a direct angle.
Right.
But let me tell you, the first time I saw the ad for that toy, my mind was blown. I was like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Lasers are real, man, and I can have one.
Oh, yeah.
So the comic was published by Continuity, and who do you think that means drew it?
Neil Adams.
Neil Adams, that's
fantastic. Right. That's going on my want list right now.
stories by Joe Straczynski. Bam!
a little bit of trivia. Captain Power contains the first reference to Babylon 5. There's an offhand reference to the space station Babylon 5.
So I found an animated series that came out at the exact same time as the toy line. That's how close it was.
I have one of those.
And so. So it's Dino Riders.
Yes, I know Dino Riders.
And now the thing is, I watched the first episode, and Mo, did you watch the first episode?
Like the first few minutes.
Did you happen to see who wrote it?
No, I didn't notice.
Carla and Jerry Conway.
Really?
Yeah. It is not the worst. By any stretch of the imagination.
Conway wrote some of the comics that I, from one of the ones that I was going to pick as one of my favorites, actually. So, Brett, paint me a picture of Dino Riders. Now, are these, do you have people riding dinos, or are they dinos riding something else?
No, they are people riding dinos. So they are people who have come, who have been kind of stranded from the future in like the Jurassic period, whatever. And so the good people have a way to kind of communicate with the dinosaurs. The bad guys basically just stick brain boxes on top of the dinosaurs and take them over. So, but everybody has managed to put technology on the dinosaurs, and so now all the dinosaurs are outfitted with laser cannons.
Yeah, but let me say this. When we're going back on these things, in the 80s and these cartoons, laser cannons and heat-seeking missiles that would just blow up at random points, creating an explosion, were big. That was a big part of these things.
And you know, and Dino Riders. I mean, it's interesting. But the best part about Dino Riders is that it is a voice frenzy. Like it's like Peter Cullen, Charlie Adler. It's got Frank Welker, you know, you're listening and it's just like, hey, that's Optimus Prime talking. Hey, that's that's the villain sounds exactly like the villain from Inspector Gadget and stuff like that. You know, it's a voice actor dream.
Does that mean you get to see Dr. Claw's face?
Yeah, if Dr. Claw was a lizard, yes,
that's,
you do.
That's what I assumed he was.
And how about Centurions? Did anybody else come across that one? That one's the character designs were Gil Kane and Jack Kirby.
Nice.
Wow.
And it was a toy line that became a cartoon. Not particularly good, but in fact, the weird thing is you would think for Jack Kirby being involved, you would expect more craziness in the character design than you actually see. Maybe that's where Gil Kane came in and went, oh, this is actually a cartoon. And they don't want to draw all this extra stuff every moment of every time there, Jack, and
Kirby
fix it.
Did the, yeah. Kirby did the Superpowers toys.
That's right. And yeah. those were very simplistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember the Centurions. They were very cool looking. They had that. They definitely had that kind of futuristic G.I. Joe look to them.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And I love all those like another Ruby Spear show, by the way. But I like the all the holes that their uniforms have so that you can like strap guns and like fit extra weapons into that. Yeah.
The toys were also an odd size. They were like full-size doll, Ken-size doll, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you couldn't get that 3.75-inch G.I. Joe figure, you know, then it became really hard to sell toys, you know.
Yeah.
Everything that fit those kind of sizes, like Star Wars, G.I. Joe. I mean, Transformers were fine because they were okay to be bigger. But... you know, the things that didn't fit, those, you know, you had to choose between whether you wanted to collect He-Man or whether you wanted to collect 3.75-inch figures.
Yeah. Well, and Mask were like, you know, little people to them. Like,
yeah.
They were really strange size. They had 5 points of articulation.
And the main figure had to be recalled because the mask was a choking hazard.
That's right. Yeah, all of those masks really were.
There was a couple. There was something that I came across. I forget what it was. Where it was like it didn't have a comic book, but all of the like the toys were made extra small, and it was more of a play set. And then the figures themselves were like an inch big.
Was that Mighty Max?
No. Or was it? Maybe it was. Now, did anybody watch Mighty Max?
No. And couldn't pay me enough.
Actually, and yes, you're right. The toy line is Mighty Max, but Mighty Max was by far my favorite animated series. Like, this is one that I would actually choose to go and watch all of the animated series, because I thought the animated series was spectacular. But yes, the toy line, it's all little play sets, and all of the figures are an inch or smaller. It looks like they basically have about 10 little tiny things that could extremely easily get lost or extremely easily make kids choke. But at the same time, these play sets are really cool.
You also played with Polly Pocket, didn't you, Brett?
No, it was the same company, yes.
Girls' version of Mighty Max.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I loved the series. I thought the series was really good. And these playsets do look really cool.
You said that they could be choked on or they could be lost. I'd like to point out that if they get choked on, they're also lost.
Yes, that is true.
That's true. Not everything, though, is crap. Not everything, though I still have some of that I want to talk about. So let's keep going there. Did any of you guys
watch the very first toy line tie-in?
What would that
1969. Hot Wheels. Really? ABC. Yeah. Yeah. You can find an episode. Oh, does this suck? It's got that Scooby-Doo type animation.
Where
it'll just be like an image and a static background, and they'll just be talking, nothing else will be moving. And then, you know, and that's same thing. And I don't think it was the same people who did Scooby-Doo, but I mean, it also, yeah, but it did have Casey Kasem doing one of the voices, Casey Kasem doing one of the voices in this terrible show. My name is Casey Kasem. I'm more than happy to tell you about the countdown here and We Talk Comics. The number 10 worst comic is this piece of crap, Hot Wheels. So... you're welcome.
That's a terrible Casey case.
Okay. I can do a better one, but you know what? I'm actually lying on my back, and I found that doing him while I'm lying on my back doesn't sound good.
Just don't.
I can do it. Like, fuck you. I can do a good Casey Kid.
I have a letter here that says, "Dear Casey," you got to throw in a little pause before that. "Dear Casey."
Yes.
Well,
it's from my dog. He's dying.
I remember listening to Casey Kasem's Top 40 the last time I listened to it, and he goes through this like long, I lost the love of my life, and you know I'm trying to struggle through, and you know it's this long sad story, and then it gets to the end, and so please Casey, could you play Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses?
By Guns N' Roses. I'd be happy to do that for you right here on the countdown.
So anyways, so it has Casey Kasem and you know, like it has a cop character as a guest star in the show. So of course he's Irish, you know, like anything that you can imagine, like nothing happens. It's horrible. That said, it did have a DC comic. And I did manage to actually read this DC comic because it was actually, it's actually public domain. and the comic book's not so bad because like there's nothing happens in the cartoon, but the comic book would have like them being attacked by thugs with machine guns and this group of, you know, mechanics who make these Hot Wheels and stuff like that. So they were able to have way more action than the cartoon could ever get away with. But yeah, it's just horrible.
All right. I want to talk about my favorite one because I know we're running short on time. I want to make sure that we get to my favorite. I need to find the rest of the episodes of this show. I am going to be bin diving to get the comics. It was a trinity at once. It was a comic and a toy and a cartoon at once. There were 5 episodes of the cartoon. There were 4 issues of the comic. And the toy line was gone by Christmas. Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Yeah, I knew it was Karate Commandos. As soon as you said
God, for those that have seen Mike Tyson's Mysteries, this is the middle part. Mr. T had a cartoon, and at the beginning and end, Mr. T would come out like a real video of Mr. T and give an important lesson. They used exactly the same, this is Ruby Spears, they used exactly the same structure to do Chuck Norris Karate Commandos, which is Chuck Norris and his friends against Super Ninja. Super Ninja was one of the bad guys. And it uses exactly the same structure. So I'm watching this and I'm like, it's serious, but I've seen all of Mike Tyson's Mysteries, which was one of my favorite shows, which uses exactly the same structure, but it's funny. So it's like, it's becoming funnier in my head as I'm watching it.
I love that Chuck Norris thought it would be okay to teach kids that the proper way to spell commandos is with a K. Because Karate Commandos wouldn't have worked unless it also started with a K.
Now I learned to spell command from masks, so I believe that's correct.
Yes. There you go. No, I love this. I love the opening theme to this. The opening theme to the Chuck Norris thing is like, because it's just like it's introducing the different characters and like so it has like a sumo guy whose job is to kick ass and eat. And like a clumsy kid whose job is to be clumsy, and a samurai warrior whose job is to kick ass, kick ass, and the female whose name was Pepper whose job is to tell everybody like Chuck that looks dangerous and get and apparently get kidnapped and stuff. Like
the 1 minute intro that introduces all the characters. I about watched it because it was making me laugh so hard. The 1 minute intro says. They say the words Chuck Norris 9 times in 1 minute.
That's awesome.
One of those videos when I was watching it, I was like, okay, this goes on the list of ones Brett's got to drop in when he's editing this episode because it's just amazing. It's amazing. Yes. Speaking of, okay, you got to do your I'm going to do my, I've been holding on to this one. Okay, guys, we actually talked about this comic book a couple months ago, okay? And varying reports, IDW doing Action Man. 1995, Action Man was done. It was like a British show, but I mean, you know, this is the biggest piece of horse shit this world has ever seen.
Is that the animated series that's on Show Me?
Yes. It starts with a live action version of the Action Man, and he'll do an Action Man. He doesn't know his past, but he'll run into people from his past who call him Action Man. So I don't get that, but
it starts with an animated, like it'll be like an action scene where this real live person will be fighting the Skull Men, and the Skull Men are these purple guys with these plastic is like stormtroopers if it looked way stupider. Like they're purple with these plastic masks that's not going to intimidate anybody. It doesn't look so bad in the cartoon, but in real life it looks I'm going to put up the picture of this. It's unbelievably hilarious. And these action scenes are made for about $14. They always have an explosion for no reason. I don't know how they managed to pull it off. I think they really blew something up and ran away, filmed it, because they didn't have the money to do anything. And then it goes to the cartoon. The cartoon is like, you can never follow the storyline because it's awful. It has a bunch of characters from like different countries. Like that's how it'll have diversity. I mean, Lord knows not somebody of color. You wouldn't see that in this comic or the cartoon. But you will see, like, my favorite is the teenage kid from France who is in a wheelchair, who is supposed to be like French and it's like the phoniest French accent, but he's supposed to be like a teenager, but he sounds like he's 47. Ah, my name is Jacques. Ah, action man, we're going to save him now. Ha ha. Like the worst.
Isn't that how French people sound?
The worst French, like this voice acting is awful. And then at the end, action man in real life will give you a lesson. It'll be like hard hitting lessons. Like, kids, make sure to listen to your parents. They're trying very hard for you, and keep it up. And they're part of Team Extreme, so all the time he'll be like, "We're gonna have to save these people with an extreme plan," or "We're gonna jump out of the plane and it's gonna make an extreme parachute drop, and we're gonna go drink this milk in an extreme cup." Like it's just throwing it in there for no reason, and it's unbelievable, unbelievably horrible. And at the end, it ends with this VR segment where he's trying to unlock his password. It shows what clues to his past he learned. And it's like the real life guy in this VR segment, but it goes into one of those like virtual reality, like, you know, like special effects where like you're going through the Matrix or whatever. And at some point you're going through the Matrix and there's a bunch of ice. And I'm like, why is there ice in the computer? I don't understand why that would be there. Everything's terrible. It's so great. We got to watch it.
I thought that the Cops animated series was really bad too, but I appreciate the fact with Cops that, and this is what I'm more interested in with Cops, because it was another Hasbro property. So they got Larry Hama to write the backstories for all of these characters as well. No way. So I would like to find those. But more so, he actually wanted, like, a lot of the characters that are in there, like, the names wound up in G.I. Joe and stuff like that. And I think there is a certain amount of crossover. But the animated series was really poor.
You know what, Brett? I liked the animated series, and I'll tell you why. Because all of them felt like Transformers and felt like G.I. Joe, and that felt like the real Ghostbusters, like, animation style-wise. And I just appreciated that it felt different.
What was the doctor's name? The doctor.
Acula.
No. Dr. Acula is way cooler.
Always classic.
Yes. Broncos. I just need to know the name, to find the name. But yeah, my I remember now though that I think the one thing that for me as a best overall that might give G.I. Joe a run for its money, I love the miniseries, I love the animated series, and even though I didn't really have many of the toys, I really love the Visionaries.
Oh, come on. They only made that toy because they discovered how to make holograms cheap. Mm-hmm.
So what? I mean, they only made any of these because they found a way to make plastic cheap.
and the mere fact the wizard who controlled both sides on the team controlled both sides, that doesn't make any sense.
But still, it was so awesome because I love the concept that it was just like you have a world that has gone from science and has fallen into magic because the everything, like, there's been a huge, you know, you know, cataclysm and stuff like that. And now magic has returned.
The solar alignment.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, to me, comic, that was. I love cool. the comic. I love the figures. I never saw the cartoon. I gotta watch it.
You totally do. I thought like it works with, again, it's an 80s cartoon, so you have to temper everything with that. That means it has the same three people as every other 80s cartoon voicing 12 characters.
Cobra Commander is one of them. The guy that did Cobra yes. Commander is one yeah. of the visionaries.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. I
really
who's also care. Starscream. Yeah.
I really don't.
I want to. Yeah. I got to mention this while I was just hammering Action Man from 1995, the 2002 3D computer animated one is great. And another one that I like that's more recent is Max Steel. I think that was like 2006 or something like that. I really like that one.
That they did as a bunch of animated movies, I believe.
Yeah, well, I know it had a series for a while. Again, about 2006, it was animated, and then they brought it back in more, you know, hand-drawn style or whatever, in the anime style and everything. But yeah, I mean, I like Max Steel. So Max Steel and the Action Man, the later version, the 2000 version, recommend those.
And so here's the villains, Dame and Cops, that I truly appreciated. This sounds like Chuck Dixon was working on it for Batman, but Dr. Bad Vibes.
Yes, I remember.
Yes. Nice. I love it. All right, we are now at our time, man.
I want to do a last shout out to Popples. Okay. We didn't get to Popples, but
that's true. Popples, Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah. There's another one.
Throw just the names of any last ones that were on your list.
Skeleton Warriors, horrible cartoon, horrible comic, but the designs of the Skeleton Warriors need to be done again. I want McFarlane Toys of all of them. They look so incredibly awesome. It's just too bad the story didn't keep up.
I was going to make a joke about Rubik's Cube, but it turns out there was a Rubik's Cube cartoon, which really kind of threw the joke.
I think it was called Dino Ricks or something like that. That was like kind of like Rubik's Cube and dinosaurs, and they had a cartoon and a toy line. And yeah, and I don't know if they had a cartoon. But did Teddy Ruxpin have a comic book?
Sure did.
Wow.
I did not know that. I remember watching. I love those cartoons.
Yeah,
Never had a Teddy Ruxpin, but I love those cartoons.
No, that was one of the interesting things that I thought of, is the fact that Teddy Ruxpin as a cartoon like wasn't bad. Same thing with Care Bears. Like, I actually didn't.
Care Bears was a strong cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it, but
sure was, yeah.
So very funny that
not as good as the Gummy Bears though.
Well, the Gummy Bears was freaking awesome. I freaking love the Gummy Bears. Yes,
I would like to go on the record. I did not enjoy Teddy Ruxpin or Care Bears. I just want to disassociate myself.
Chris, you're a monster.
I know
you're a monster. No soul.
You know what he needs? Hug Bear. Hug Bear would fix
this. He needs. Hey, man. My buddy, did that have a comic or cartoon? Like, my buddy hit me. Like, look, that one. How about that?
What wasn't that the Chucky doll?
Oh, it was.
Was that a parody? I was gonna say, like, I don't think that was a real toy.
It was a real toy. My buddy. All right, Keith, what's your crappy topic for next week?
Well, inspired by something you said in passing on one of our previous episodes, Mo.
Oh, no,
we are. I want to take a look at what if I told you there was a comic that had regular art by Murphy Anderson, Mike Plug, and Will Eisner, and that this comic ran, and that this magazine ran over 200 issues with this team. You would go, my God, Keith, that's something we should talk about on the show.
You're talking about, but I couldn't find any when I was looking for it earlier. I know what you're talking about.
Well, I did find them. So, so on the next episode, we will be taking a look at. I'm gonna cherry pick some random issues out the run.
So you're not gonna make us read 200.
We're not gonna read over 200 issues. 227 issues. This is the Preventative Maintenance Monthly. It is a magazine published by the U.S. Army, and gave lots of tips and we'll call them. Parables for soldiers on how to take care of their equipment and things to avoid, and everyone had a couple of page story as well as a lot of spot art.
And we'll just see just how sexist this book is. Because so there's female character who I believe is probably smarter than everybody else, and yet I also believe is there just for the TNA.
These were like all through the 60s, these ran almost monthly for about 20 years they worked on these out of Will Eisner's shop. And so I'm just going to pick like maybe every 50th issue or something, so we get a broad range of.
I'm glad you found it. I really wanted to read it. Like I say, I was trying to find that when we're doing my month. I was trying to find the one from my birth month, but I couldn't find it. And so yeah, that's really cool.
I was able to find the Virginia Commonwealth University has all of them, as well as a separate site has captured those as PDFs. So that's what I have for us to take a look at. They are public domain, so they're when we do the episode, we'll put up the link in our show notes so that other people can track these.
If they have anything on prevention of STDs,
I'm sure too late for you. It's sure too most... late already, Chris. It's all right. I think we're OUT, aren't we? Anything else, boys?
I want to watch more Vision.
I'm going to watch this now. I'm excited. Oh yeah,
how do you spell Monchichi?
I believe it's Monchichi.
That's what I wrote down. Yeah.
Chris is running away to find it.
Getting some hand.
Yeah, I'm totally like I'm gonna watch Mighty Max and then I'm gonna finish Visionaries again. Yes, I'm all in on that.
Hey, that kiss coming up kiss, on one of those power comics. That kiss cartoon also has a lot of movies, like cartoon movies too on there. They're kind of.
Close. Are we gonna watch the Bravestar movie together? Yeah, let's do it. Bravestar.
I don't know how. I'm not positive how much of your vacation you're intending to spend with us, but we may want to put some kind of limits on this.
We'll just have one. Okay. So a long time ago, we did a 24-hour marathon of horror movies. Yeah, we did. All right. 24 hours of animated shit.
I would totally dig it. I really would. It sounds great. All right, guys. I think with that, thanks everybody for putting up with us and listening to this crap. You really do. You really do listen. We don't know why, but apparently enjoy what we do. So we'll come back and do it again next week.
Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris, man of action. Chuck Norris stars in Chuck Norris Karate Commandos. Chuck Norris, he's got nerves of steel and strength to match. Chuck Norris with his team, Pepper.
It's too dangerous, Chuck.
What?
Too much.
Too much.
Kimo, the samurai warrior. Reed, Chuck's teenage apprentice. Tabe, the sumo champion. With Chuck Norris, they battle the sinister forces of the Claw.
Remember this.
And the ruthless Super Ninja.
I'll finish Norris!
Chuck Norris stars in Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.